How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is March 1st, 2011. Here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com, we got Raw to talk about. We got a bunch of news, questions, whole nine yards. And Dave, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm about recovered after the longest sickness I've had in years. But I made it through, so life is good.
Good. Well, it's good that you got past it.
The Raw show last night, I don't really even know what to say about that show. There was a lot of talking. I thought there was some good stuff on the show that really made me interested in WrestleMania. And then I thought there was some stuff on the show that was just really stupid. And
yeah, there was a lot of both.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cena Miz Alex Riley thing was terrible.
I thought that was just horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the main event for, you know, or title match at WrestleMania, and I'm watching this going like, I was almost in disbelief at how what it degenerated into, especially the Cena promo. You know, it's just like, are you trying to sell a wrestling match?
Everything about, I mean, the promo, the cage match at the end, I mean, the whole thing was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this show from the beginning.
Okay.
Open up with Hunter coming out, and they announced Hunter and Taker official for WrestleMania. And he, of course, had all sorts of Triple H signs and chants and that sort of thing, and did this big promo about how the test of a man's mettle was the test of time. And he'd done all sorts of things. He'd won the title. He'd won every championship.
He buried an entire dress room again.
Well, that we'll get to. Talked about all these things he'd done. Started DX, 13 times a champion, 16 years.
Started Evolution.
He'd seen them all come and go. Yeah, he mentioned Ric Flair's name. And there was only one man, he said, that was still around. It was The Undertaker. And this was the point where he mentioned that when the two of them were backstage, they both had to realize that there were no more challenges left. There was nobody that was going to give either of them a run for their money except for each other, he said.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, I'll say.
I mean, he could have done this promo without that line, and it would actually been like a really good promo. But in doing that, it was like, and I'm amazed because, you know, obviously Undertaker is probably wrestling WrestleMania and not too much after that. I mean, as far as certainly not on any, you know, certainly no regular schedule, maybe a match here and there, you know, on pay-per-view, maybe, you know, his career is clearly winding down, his shoulder's messed up. And Triple H is, you know, whether this is his retirement or not, I don't know, but he has told people he's retiring this year. And the point is, he's the guy running the company, so you would think he would be the, this is what amazed me about this. There's a time in his career where, had he done this, I would not have been the slightest bit surprised. But given that he's the guy who's going to be running the company, he's probably the single last guy on the roster I would think would want to cut this promo. But he did.
Yeah.
Or at least that part of the promo. I don't want to knock the whole promo because I thought that it was, like I said, I thought it was overall, well, I don't say overall a good promo, but a lot of it was a good promo. And a lot of it had me in, I wouldn't say disbelief, but perplexed would be probably a better word.
I actually thought, I mean, the whole promo except for that line was really good.
Yeah, I would say that. It just,
what other lines perplexed you, just out of curiosity?
No, just that. I mean, okay. Just the idea that he would bury the entire dressing room, that and it had no relevance to the match, to building the match anyway. I mean, everything else that he said was fine. You know, the two longest tenured guys, and you know that whatever, you know that. You know, everything that he said was fine, other than there was no need for that. Just to basically say that we're the two top guys in the draft. You know, he could even say we're the two top guys in the company right now. It wouldn't really bother me. That's fine. You know, but to also say that nobody in the locker room, you know, could give either of them a challenge, it's like, great. Those are the guys that are going to have to carry the company.
Yeah. So a rather mind-boggling line. He did end up saying that the only thing left for him was to end the streak. And the only thing that Undertaker had left was the streak. And he said, it's all going to come to a head at WrestleMania. He vowed to end the streak or die trying. So I guess we'll find out if there are added stipulations in the coming weeks. But sure seemed to indicate there was some finality to the show one way or the other. So I guess we'll see. So then as he was about to leave, out came, of all people, believe it or not, Sheamus. And they acknowledged that Sheamus had put him out of action for a year. Sheamus got into the ring, Hunter proceeded to kick him in the balls, throw him out of the ring, toss him into the barricade, beat the hell out of him, take him up to the table, give him a pedigree through the table, laid him out, and that was the end of that. Just completely destroyed him.
And had to tie up loose ends.
Sure, and what a way to tie up loose ends this was. Not even a match, just a destruction.
Yeah, it's beneath his talents to have a match with him.
I guess, no one could give him a challenge, so that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he was killed, and then after commercial...
I want to say this. I don't mind that this happened, because the reality is that Sheamus has already been buried, so this wasn't burying... You know, I mean, I guess you could say it was burying him, but Triple H is still in the main event at WrestleMania, and I don't care, you know, as long if he beats up any mid-carder or below guy and gives him nothing at this, you know, for the next couple weeks, because that's fine. I mean, if it was 2 months from now, I might have a different opinion, but right now on the build to WrestleMania, you know, the main eventer should run through everybody. I mean, if Sheamus was higher up and been protected better, I might say differently, but where Sheamus is now, whatever, you know. It's a function of what they'd already done to Sheamus as opposed to, you know, anything else.
So after Hunter left, as Sheamus was being helped away, the GM dinged. Michael Cole, by the way, was not there yet. They said later he would be addressing Lawler. So Jerry read the email and refused to do anything, and I quote such. But the GM ruled that Sheamus might be hurt, but that was not the GM's fault, and therefore he was going to have his scheduled match against a man returning to Raw.
It was Evan Bourne. Could have done was gone to Sheamus and gone, can you go on?
Nope.
Have the doctor ask him.
Sheamus would have had to say, I can't see. He's a heel. But regardless, nobody was there to ask him. They just made him wrestle. So Evan came out, beat him in like 30 seconds, coming off rotator cuff surgery, still did the shooting star press pretty much perfect. And bad day for young Sheamus here.
It's been a lot longer than a day.
Yeah. We had the ring announcer introducing the voice of WWE, Michael Cole. It's infuriating. So Cole came out and he had a mic. And he told Lawler to get his antiquated butt into the ring. And I guess stipulations are that Cole can strike Lawler, but not vice versa. I guess that's the way they're going here, which makes no sense, but that's what they're doing. So he said he never backed down from a fight. He was basically playing the Vince McMahon role. And he said his answer to the little WrestleMania challenge was no, unless Lawler accepted two conditions. And condition number one was that Cole's trainer gets to be in his corner at WrestleMania. And number two, he gets to choose a special guest referee for the match. And Lawler accepted. Cole sang and danced and then called out his trainer, who ended up being Jack Swagger. Swagger got in Lawler's face. Cole ended up hitting Lawler. Lawler went after him. Swagger clipped his leg, put him in the ankle lock. And that was the last that we saw of Lawler on this particular show here.
Lawler sold the ankle lock great.
Sure he did. He sells everything great.
Yeah.
So Cole and Swagger
such
are
a shame.
They're a crew, and I guess we'll find out soon who the special the referee is going to be. Who do you expect
it
to be?
We will find that out on Monday.
Who do you think it's going to be?
I cannot tell you because I know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, well, I cannot tell you though. Unfortunately, on this one, I can't.
Let's just move on.
I was just gonna say. The referee is pretty much I think it's pretty much decided, but how they get to it is something that they don't have done yet. It's supposed to pay off this coming Monday.
All right, we shall wait till Monday. So they announced the return of Austin next week. And then Cole came back out to disinfect Lawler's headphones. And he said, you never knew what was on Jerry's head. Cut a promo on him, vowing to humiliate him.
What's that supposed to mean?
What was that?
You never know what's on Jerry's head.
You never do know.
Whatever.
Anyway, so we had Randy Orton coming out for a promo. Talked about Punk.
I have a joke, but I can't tell that one either.
Oh, my God, Dave.
This is getting terrible.
This is supposed to be an insider show here. It's becoming an outsider show.
I know, but it's like there's these things that like people get sued for millions of dollars when it comes to this stuff.
We would have to, we're gonna have to do
seriously, too.
A new show where It's like
terrible.
It's like Dave's cryptic comments are explained on a super secret insider show.
Yeah, I can't though because the internet just kills it.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean heads would roll.
So Randy came out and did a promo. Long story short, he threatened to make CM Punk a quadriplegic. That was nice. And then Punk came out with the crew. And he was about to fight Randy when the GM dinged and said it was a WrestleMania match. And he ruled that over the next few weeks, Orton would be facing all of the members of the new Nexus one at a time. If a Nexus member won, they would be at ringside for the match. And if they lost, they were banned from WrestleMania. So I guess that means no multi-man match or anything like that.
Yeah, the Nexus core match, I heard. I actually heard it last week that it was probably going to be dropped. And I guess this guarantees that it's dropped.
So, they also announced that if anybody interfered in the matches, Nexus would be disbanded, and I'm not sure how that works. They're banned from being friends. Just like if you get fired, you're banned from dating somebody in WWE.
Well, it's WWE. It's they're all powerful. One thing, and again, I do not know this, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling that the core is probably going to do some kind of a match with the Big Show. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious, and it wouldn't surprise me if Kevin Nash would be on the team with Big Show. And, you know, maybe, I don't know who else. So
that sounds like
again,
a train wreck.
But that's not something that I was directly told. That's just me trying, you know, kind of putting a few things together. Because Kevin Nash is kind of was just told that he's doing another match, and I'm presuming it's at WrestleMania. And I don't think it's against Big Show. I think it's like with Big Show against, you know, and again, if Kevin Nash is in an eight-man tag, it actually makes sense. If Kevin Nash is in a singles match at WrestleMania, it's a terrible idea.
Kevin Nash in the ring with Ezekiel Jackson is a terrible idea.
No, maybe they won't be in the ring, or they'll only be in the ring for like 10 seconds.
Orton beat McGillicuddy in a house show match. Orton beat him up for a while, and McGillicuddy got the heat. Orton made a comeback, RKO 1-2-3. Then Randy set up for the punt. And Punk came out on the ramp, told him he better not do it. Do not punt him in the skull. Serious case of deja vu here. Orton punted him anyway, ran through the crowd. Nexus went after him. I don't know why Nexus didn't come after him before the punt, but they didn't. So he is being...
They were slow on the draw. They figured that Punk could talk him out of it.
Yeah. He's not being punted to Weight Watchers like someone else, but...
No, he was soccer kicked all the way to Tampa.
Yep.
Yeah, he's, I guess him and Alex Riley are both going to be repackaged, and they're both back in developmental.
Maybe repackaged with a better name.
Yeah, he needs a better name. You know, it's too bad because he's like a good worker, although he wasn't over a lick. But, you know, none of those Nexus guys could really get over the way that they were. You know, I mean, is Otunga over at all?
Of course not. Yeah, he may so be what, punted next week.
What?
Maybe he'll be punted next week.
I guess it's possible.
We had clips of the Sin Cara signing, who they're calling Sin Cara, and did mention he was a former Mystico, so there you go.
Yeah, they got big plans for him, so we'll see. He's going to be either a big success or he's going to be one of the big flops that the company's ever had, and I don't know which one it will be because he's got a lot working for him and he's got a lot working against him. And it's just a question of the stuff that's working against him, you know, if that dissuades the people in power who are, you know, working for him.
Miz came out and cut a promo on The Rock and basically said it was nice that Rock was going to respond to Cena later, but it was very clear he said why The Rock was not responding to him.
And he said, he's insignificant.
That's what I thought. But his excuse was it was because he was right. And he talked about how it used to be The Rock show, now it's The Miz show. He's the biggest star in WWE, the most must-see champion in history, whole nine yards. Brought up winning and losing the tag titles with Cena last week. Said he won the belts personally, and then Cena lost them. And he said Cena...
Which was his plan.
Sure. Said Cena should be worried about...
He knew that they were going to have an automatic rematch before
apparently.
He even won the belts.
Or maybe he thought there would be one next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Said that his plan, I'm sure, was to just cost Cena the match in their first match after winning them. They just happened to have an immediate one.
Yeah.
So, said that Cena shouldn't be worried about The Rock and all of these wacky raps. He should be worried about The Miz, and I was not convinced here. So, He vowed to beat both of them at WrestleMania. Yes, he said he would beat Cena, and then he would beat The Rock. And then Cena came out for the shittiest segment. Oh, my God. He came out and he started doing a bunch of stupid comedy. And Riley was supposed to make a stupid joke, but unfortunately it was all stupid, so his joke wasn't any stupider than the other stuff that was in this segment. So that didn't work. And then Cena said, man, your jokes are stupid. Miz, the reason nobody takes you seriously is because of this guy. You need to start winning on your own. So he wanted Riley gone, wanted a match with him tonight, where if he won, Riley could no longer work for The Miz. He'd be fired. And Miz accepted, and he gave his word he would not interfere. And he said if Alex won, he wanted Cena to publicly admit that Miz was the greatest superstar of all time, because he was Miz and he was awesome. At which point, John Cena said, of all the things that have happened to me, I've been fired, enslaved, water thrown on me, this, that, and the other thing.
How bad is water being thrown on you?
Well, if you're, maybe he's allergic to water. I don't know. But all these things
he
said.
How does he take a shower?
Well, we don't have proof that he showers.
I would hope he does.
You'd hope so, but we've never seen evidence of this fact.
No, thank God.
Maybe when he was a child, somebody tried to drown him, and he's hated water ever since.
I don't believe that's true.
That happened to me, actually.
You're afraid of water?
I'm not a big fan of water, no.
You're kidding me.
No, I was in a pool when I was a little kid, and some kid tried to hold my head underwater, and I've hated water ever since.
That happened to me like 100 times. I still don't hate water.
It was traumatic for me.
God,
and I was only underwater for like 5 seconds, maybe.
I used to get in fights in the water all the time, and, you know, it's just... The one thing I hated is, like these water polo guys. It's like, on land, I could, like, take them no problem. Get in the water, they had, like, super strength. they would kill me.
You didn't do enough swimming, apparently.
I don't know what it is about. You get these water polo, because we had an awesome water polo team, and this one guy, I think he ended up playing at Stanford. He was an awesome athlete, I'll give him that. And, I mean... So I figured I could, you know, fight him in the water. What the hell? It's just the water, right? Fuck, that was the stupidest thing I ever did. He drowned me forever.
See?
But I don't hate the water over it.
Well, my parents made me learn how to swim, and I tried to learn how to swim without actually putting my face in the water, if you can imagine that.
Oh, that's okay.
So, don't...
How can you hate the water?
There's a stipulation for the future. Something involving water.
Cena has to go swimming?
Could be.
He loses?
Based on this.
Well,
he didn't completely. He completely blew off this stipulation, the fact of the matter.
It's like, well, what the hell?
Yeah,
how
what a stupid stip, he said. I'll do that, no problem. There you go.
That was just a mind-boggling set. That whole interview was mind-boggling. It's like, here we are, the WWE Championship match for WrestleMania, and everyone's telling lame jokes. It was like, you know... It was the worst of Brian Gewirtz, you know, which is okay because later was the best of Brian Gewirtz, but this was not. Oh my God!
When Cena first came out and was telling the stupid jokes, there was that part of my brain that was like, okay, Brian, just survive this because then he'll get serious like he always does, and then he didn't. It was all stupid the entire time.
Well. I was thinking, like, this was one of those build-ups to, like, a pay-per-view, like we've talked about in the past, that, you know, just, like, kills the main event. But the one good thing is they still got, like, you know, 5 shows left or something like that. So it's, by the time, you know, WrestleMania comes, this interview will be long forgotten. In fact, I think by tomorrow morning it's going to be, for the most part, long forgotten.
A Bella won a Divas Battle Royal.
That sucked.
A completely worthless segment.
I just figured they should have just taken that off the show instead of, like, you know, all the other, you know, because they couldn't give it an intro, and they actually started it during the commercial break, and Tamina was, like, thrown over the top ropes before I even figured out what the hell was going on. Well, not over the top ropes, thrown out of the ring, because they don't even do over the top ropes in women's battle royals.
No, you
she
go through
fell out of the ring, and I go, is this a tag match? Is this, what the hell is this?
Yep, it was lame. The highlight of it actually was...
I didn't even know, like, so Eve Torres is doing the commentary, and I couldn't even figure out first, like, okay, whose voice am I listening to?
I actually knew it was Eve.
She was never identified at first.
Of course not. Maurice did tweet afterwards, even though I lost the Battle Royal, my hair looked fabulous. So that was by far the highlight of this particular segment.
I guess. I don't know.
Live via satellite to The Rock at his home in L.A. Hell of a promo. I'm not even going to bother.
I don't think that was very live.
Not going to try to recap this or anything like that, but the gist of it was he was outraged at the temerity of John Cena to claim that he did not love wrestling. And he made sure to do his promo in front of his trophy case with all of his titles, and he talked about how his blood was with this company. He grew up here, his grandfather, his father, and he could not believe after going to Hollywood and paving the way for...
His dad did work there when he was 12, so that is true.
Paving the way for John Cena in Hollywood, he said, and this is how you repay me. So he called him a fruity pebble bitch, and...
I just loved all the stuff where he goes, the best you have is a rap?
Yes.
That was...
A rap. You address me in the form of rap? So yeah, he's coming sooner than Cena thinks, he says.
Yeah, that was the thing was, is like this was this was so much better than anything else on the show, and I don't know. It was a great promo. It may have gone a little too long. Some people complained because it wasn't in front of the audience, but he wasn't there. It was to be able to pull that thing off like that. I mean, he was out there on tape, and people were doing his catchphrases when he did his catchphrases. It was tremendous.
Taped comments from another guy, Shawn Michaels, about Hunter and Undertaker, said he had mixed emotions. He said it would be great for his best friend to end the streak, but at the same time, he'd also be a little pissed off because he tried twice and failed.
Yeah.
So
it seems to build to his involvement in that match.
You would think so.
You know, but I don't know. It's like they're doing a special ref in the Lawler match. So would they do two special refs on the same show? I guess they could. I don't know. I mean, if it was TNA, I would say they could, but WWE, I don't know.
Seems like overkill, but Daniel Bryan had to, and we've also got Rock there, you know, if he ends up doing anything in the...
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to referee.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to tease. I think that the best thing for him to do is, like, you know, host the show and then tell everyone going in that you know, him and Cena are going to... Something's going to happen. The thing is like, if they meet face-to-face, that may not be, I should watch it and decide, but it's a risk. I think that to me, I think the best money is that they don't meet face-to-face. Maybe you could have, like, the general manager or someone say that, like, you know, because of what's happening and we have to protect John Cena or something, or we have to protect these guys, we don't want an injury before WrestleMania, that these guys cannot meet face-to-face, they can only be on in separate segments. And that way, the first time they meet face-to-face is at Mania, because if you give that away, because you're not doing them, you're not building to an actual match, what you're building to is them being face-to-face and perhaps, like, doing a high spot. And just then, the idea of going face-to-face without the high spot and trying to build the high spot when they're both standing there, I think it's a tough one at that point. And if they go physical first, what are you building to? Unless they do a match, and if they do a match, it's and I don't know that they are. If they do a match, it's months from now. It's not at this year's WrestleMania. So, again, they got to be pretty careful how they do this.
Daniel Bryan,
the more times Rock is on television, the less he'll mean at WrestleMania because he's not wrestling on the show.
It is a balance they have to find.
Yeah, and with Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, they completely botched it up.
Yes.
So I don't have, like, faith in their judgment. But, you know, we'll see.
Daniel Bryan came out, immediately attacked, laid out, killed by The Miz, and he announced that he had done this because he could. It was his show, and he commanded they lower the cage to get this thing on the road. Cena and Riley in the cage match. If Cena won, Riley was fired. If he lost, he had to tell the world next week that Miz was awesome. It sucked. Miz said he wouldn't interfere, but of course he was doing commentary, so he just killed the cage gimmick dead. Interfered regularly, wouldn't let Cena get out, slammed the door in his head about a minute in, threw in a phone for Riley.
I like the phone deal. That was pretty funny.
Especially when the picture showed up on Twitter, actually.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I didn't like is at one point, you know, I think Cena had Riley beat, and he climbed up the cage, and then Miz is underneath there with a chair, okay? And then Cena, like, climbed down and went to the other side of the cage, and by this point, you know, Riley started recovering. And it's like, you know, couldn't he just, like, climb down? I mean, why would you just not climb down and win?
He didn't want to get hit.
Why wouldn't he just, like, climb down halfway and then do a dive and knock the hell out of Miz standing there?
You're overthinking this cage match.
I guess so. I mean, I just thought that, I thought as a babyface, like, for a heel, that would be one thing, but for a babyface to, like, be scared and go back into the cage, I just thought it was, like, a completely stupid spot.
Whole match was stupid. Just the constant...
Well, just the idea that Alex Riley is put in a cage match in the Raw main event is already stretching boundaries.
Well, that's true. So, finally, Cena went to leave. Miz was shoving the door shut. Cena won the pushing contest, but then he fell out like a fool. And he won, because he landed on the ground first. But then Miz gave him the skull-crushing finale. They played Miz's music, even though his guy lost and is now fired. And he smirked as the show went off the air.
Yeah, he sure seemed very concerned about Riley.
Yeah.
But I did like that finish. That was a different finish. And I think that that aspect, as far as him just like overpowering him to win, but then getting laid out, I thought that was pretty good.
I guess. I thought that segment
sucked.
The best thing
of what else could I say good about the match?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. So that was Raw, everybody. We got news. Chris Jericho, the new season of Dancing with the Stars, as well as Ralph Macchio of the original Karate Kid. Quite the
and
lineup.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's Sugar Ray Leonard, Kendra Wilkinson. Eclectic cast here on Dancing with the Stars. It starts the week before WrestleMania, which means on WrestleMania, the day after, there's going to be a WWE Hall of Fame show at 8, Raw at 9, Tough Enough at 10, Dancing with the Stars
at 11.
I believe at 8. 11, yes. So that's a lot of stuff to watch that night.
I'll say.
So, yeah.
It's going to be starting Thursday? You kidding?
It's starting ridiculous. This Thursday?
What?
Starting this Thursday?
Thursday, we got UFC and TNA, both on Thursday, head-to-head. Then Saturday, we got Strikeforce and Bellator's debut, head-to-head.
Don't forget, on Friday, I'm actually going to TNA.
Yeah, well, you'll have a good time. It's a house show.
I will have a good time at the house show.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's not like you're watching like your television show.
I sure as hell hope not.
Maybe
don't
send Russo to book the house show just to make you happy.
Oh, I jumped the rail.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just crazy. You know, Bellator was talking about how, you know, they're gonna switch the times, which I don't think is a good idea, because they're going to have enough trouble getting an audience if they're not switching the times every single week. But the first week, they're not switching the time, even though they're going to be going head-to-head.
Great.
I think they're going to get an hour jump. I think the first hour will not be against... the first hour will be clean, and then the second hour will be head-to-head with the first hour of Strikeforce.
Hmm.
So...
The Bisping situation, Dana White has vowed some sort of punishment for Michael Bisping for...
He just told me he's in trouble.
He's in trouble.
Yeah, he didn't specify exactly what.
Hmm.
Maybe they're going to... I don't know. Chael Sonnen and Vitor Belfort both want him bad.
Yep.
I think a lot of guys probably want him bad right now, because what it is, it's a great position to be in, because he's so hated that you make yourself popular just by fighting him. And you're guaranteed a match that's going to have a ton of interest. Plus, you know, I mean, in a sense, people say he's overrated so much that he's really not overrated anymore. But he's not top five, but he's more famous than everyone in that division except for Anderson Silva, and including Chael Sonnen. He's more famous than Chael Sonnen even. So
I don't know
in that,
about that
sense,
one.
It's like you've got a good chance to get a win over somebody who's really over right now, and so it's he's a great opponent to have. Plus, you know, he's so over that if you beat him, you could pretty much get a title shot. I mean, for Chael Sonnen, it's the perfect thing, because he's going to have to get a win, and this is a top guy who Sonnen has a pretty good shot, you know, of beating, and then he can go right to his championship match against the Anderson Silva St. Pierre winner. So it's not bad to,
you know,
if he can get that, it works out. And I think that Sonnen against Bisping, I think that's going to be like a real big match by the time they get to it. I have no doubt it will be.
Maybe Sonnen could get licensed first.
Well, that's another issue. Well, they don't have to do it in Nevada.
Huh?
They don't have to do it in Nevada.
No, but
not like he's banned.
I just don't like the idea of you know, after the Strikeforce deal with Barnett. I mean, just
those are different deals, though. One was a guy who had his license suspended, or was denied a license, I should say. You know, all Sonnen has to do is not apply for a license, and he hasn't been denied anywhere. And when you're denied a license, then you can't apply anywhere for a year unless a state. And he couldn't apply anywhere. Whereas with Sonnen, the only problem would be if the match was booked in Nevada, in which case, they, you know, whether they would or wouldn't license him, they'd have to make him jump through hoops, and there's a chance they wouldn't license him. But in any other state, Sonnen could just go in there, and it wouldn't even be an issue.
Well, there's always future fights, and there's a lot of them in Vegas.
After May 28th, there's not. I don't think there's going to be another big show in Vegas probably until maybe the first of the year, or no, it's the July show. They'll do July 4th weekend show.
I just don't like.
But I don't think if Bisping is suspended, and I don't know how quick Sonnen's going to be back in the thing. You know, they have to do is do it in like August.
I know, but I just don't like the idea of a major league organization using a guy in other states because they know he wouldn't get licensed in a certain state because he lied under oath about talking to a certain guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy said he didn't talk to him.
Okay, you're right. But the thing is that he has not been denied a license anywhere. It is just a theoretical that he could be in Nevada. It's not a case of that he would be. Nevada may very well license him, you know, and just censure him or something.
Well,
or they may not
then
license
fine.
Him. I mean, it's absolutely possible. And if he doesn't, you know, obviously it's his own fault. You know, I mean, what he did, you know, in talking about that conversation, I mean, that was, I don't know. The thing is how he got that thing cut down from a year to 6 months in California. That really was terrible for the California Commission. It really, when you really look back on it, that was embarrassing. But they did, and then he got himself suspended because he's in the middle of a federal case. So, well, but if I'm Sonnen and I'm going to come back. That's the guy I want to face.
SmackDown did a huge rating on Friday night, thanks to The Rock, I would presume. 3.5 million viewers.
I think all these ratings are thanks to The Rock.
Yeah. And so a big
number.
The
Rock's going to do a big rating with Austin next week, too.
Yeah.
And also, with Rock doing that, you know, it'll be sooner than later. I think people are going to think that The Rock and Austin are going to be in the same show.
Well, he better start showing up soon.
Who, Rock?
Yeah. You can only tease people
long enough. He does have to within the next 2 weeks. But like I said, the more he shows up, the less he means at WrestleMania. So it's like it's a balance.
Yeah. The Raw quarters, what was interesting about them?
Oh, from last week?
Mm-hmm.
The highest quarter was the first quarter. So they opened with a 4.2 quarter. So if Rock was on that show like people expected, they probably would have ended up with like a 4.2 to 4.4 rating. But he wasn't, so it ended up with a 3.85 rating, which is still the best rating in a long, long time. But the Undertaker trip, the Undertaker, you know, I mean, nobody knew Triple H was going to be there, you know, for the most part. So, I mean, Triple H meant nothing for the rating because he wasn't advertised. But Undertaker, they knew. And the Undertaker quarter was, you know, it was good, but, you know, it wasn't. It was barely above the show average, so it's not like I mean, I was thinking like those promos and the idea of The Rock probably both drove the rating. But when you look at the quarters, I don't know that those vignettes they meant something, okay? And the show probably would have done a 3.5, you know, maybe I don't think a 3-6, probably a 3-5 without The Rock being on the show the week before. But everything from a 3-5 up, that's because the buzz was out that The Rock was on TV the week before. So, yeah, I think he's definitely created tremendous interest in professional wrestling as compared to even a month ago.
And the Rumble buy rate is in, down slightly from last year, which is interesting given the tremendous amount of feedback that we got on that show. So
yeah, I was surprised. And Vince McMahon at the investors call, you know, made a point of how, you know, the Rumble number has shown that they've turned things around. And I did find out that they were originally expecting to be 10% up, and they were not. They were actually, you know, a few percents down. But here's an interesting one. The decline was not in North America. The decline was overseas, and that's even with adding Mexico to the ball game. That's which is really weird. You know, like they were down 12% outside of North America, and that was really the decline. That's where the decline was.
Hmm.
So usually it's the other way around. Usually, like last year, overseas, you know, not because any specific markets are up, because you know Australia was mostly down all year, you know, because UFC started getting strong there. But the addition of Mexico, because Mexico is now the number three market on pay per view, number three or number four. But the addition of the Mexico market has led to, you know, international last year being up while domestic was way, way down. And this one for the Rumble, domestic wasn't down, and international was down pretty significantly. And I don't know why that would be, why would that buck the trend, but that's what happened.
Let's do some of the questions here. Paul here says, what do you think of the words immortal being bandied around in different promos and video packages on the show? Being co-opted made me chuckle. Also, in Rock's promo, he did not once say the irritating buzzword WWE Universe.
Maybe he finds it irritating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that too, because there were three or four instances, and one in particular where I thought for sure he was going to have to say it, and he absolutely didn't say it.
And he says, a bit of a tangent, because you talk about Bret Hart and MMA. I would have thought, just going by that man character was portrayed as an excellent wrestler, that Bret would have really been a fan of MMA. Also, having been one of Canada's biggest stars, that he maybe would have sought to attach himself to GSP, or at least have mentioned him in some interviews. But the only comments I've seen from Bret on the subject was Bret saying he didn't like MMA, that MMA was more geared towards amateur wrestling, he wanted to get away from that. Sounds to me like he's either bitter at the huge star that GSP is, or he simply doesn't get it. But you'd think that Stu would have been a huge MMA fan today.
Stu would have been a gigantic MMA fan. There's not a question in my mind about that. I mean, I talked to Bret about MMA, and I don't think that he's negative about it. It's just that it's something he would never want to do. So I think that because he likes, there are certain aspects of the pro wrestling that he likes, which are not involved in MMA, you know, not part of MMA. But I never got the impression he disliked it or liked it. Just that he would never, ever want to do it. Because when the thing about the amateur wrestling he wanted to get away from, you know, when he was in high school, you know, he was a good amateur wrestler. He was a provincial champion. And, you know, his father wanted him to go on. And he, you know, just did not like amateur wrestling. Unlike Owen, who was actually a good college wrestler. His father wanted him to go on because he had some talent in amateur wrestling, but he, you know, did not like amateur wrestling at all as far as participating in it. But I mean, I've never heard him being like negative about like watching it or anything like that. And I know, Daniel Igali, I think it was, who was a great Canadian amateur wrestler. I know him and Bret were friends. So, but you know, that doesn't mean, you know, that he likes the sport just because he's friends with one of the guys in the sport. But yeah, I mean, as far as I never sensed that he didn't like it. I sensed more that he would never ever want to do it. I mean, and that's pretty consistent. Even Japanese wrestling. I mean, there were aspects of Japanese wrestling because it was so physical that, you know, he didn't really like. You know, he liked the American style where you give more. You know, and as opposed to having to actually take it. You know, he thought that was kind of like in a worked sport, having to actually take it was kind of silly. So that was his, you know, thoughts as far as, like, you know, his Japanese era.
Got a lot of emails here from people very upset with Triple H for saying that all of the other wrestlers in the back are garbage. Kind of talked about that earlier.
Well, you know what? If I was those wrestlers in the back, I'd be upset too.
Maybe they're sending the emails. So this person says, since he's
God, if I was the Miz, I'd be real upset. Trying to make me carry the company, and then you're saying that I'm not even worthy to be in the ring with the top guys?
Or Cena.
Yeah, I think Cena doesn't need to be worried about that because he's already there. It's the guys that are the guy. If I was Cena, I could care less what he says because I'm already ahead of him. But if I'm a guy who's like climbing and think I'm there, and then I'm told that I'm not, I would be upset.
This person says, since the Cena Rock confrontation is being saved for Mania, do you think having Rock and Stone Cold on Raw together to promote Mania would be a good idea? I would think they would pull an enormous rating in the 5 range, and that could be huge for the Mania buy rate.
Well, if they do a rating in the 5 range next week, that's because people that watch the show tonight will believe Rock is on next week's show. And they already know Austin's on next week's show. But if it's me, I would not have them on the same week. I think it's overkill, and you don't need it. I don't think Rock needs to be on the show next week, even though that he may very well be. If he is, I sure as hell hope that they advertise him ahead of time. I mean, at least thank God with Austin, they're telling people, and they got a week to tell them. You know, Austin's going to be there. If he shows up, you know, like even I guess because it was taped, I guess it's okay that they didn't plug it. Because people would feel kind of maybe semi-ripped off, and I think that their idea is that, well, we didn't advertise them ahead of time anyway, so it's like a bonus as opposed to, you know. But I just hope that he's not on next week's show without advertising. I guess he has to be in some form, at least in a clip. But I wouldn't put them both in Dallas.
I didn't notice this, but somebody says, did Josh Matthews almost blow the Triple H Undertaker angle on Raw tonight? It seemed like he was about to say Undertaker streak versus Hunter's career, but then stopped and was not heard from for the rest of the segment. Did you notice that?
I thought so. I didn't know where he was going, but, you know, in my mind, I was thinking that, you know, that he might say his career. So I thought that Josh was going in that direction, and I thought that Triple H was going in that direction, and then he didn't touch it at all as well.
This person says, when Billy Graham turned face in 1985 and went back to the tie-dye and dropped the karate gimmick, was that Dusty's idea or Graham's idea or someone else?
I don't know for a fact, but I would guess it was Dusty's idea, you know, which it probably would have been everyone's idea because nobody liked that karate gimmick. And the other gimmick, you know, obviously was much more successful. The karate gimmick, if the karate gimmick worked, it was only because people remembered Graham as what he was before the karate gimmick, and the name meant something. It wasn't that he was pretty funny with it, I'll give him that, but it was not a main event gimmick, that's, you know, or a big drawing main event gimmick, that's for sure.
Let's do one more here. This is actually a very interesting question. Do you and Dave think that Brock Lesnar would have made a bigger difference to the buy rate at WrestleMania than The Rock will?
If it was Brock with Paul Heyman managing him, and it was against Undertaker, streak against, you know, UFC star, and the interviews were really, really good and direct, I don't think it would mean as much. I think it might have in some ways meant as much because he's actually in a match and they could build the match bigger. So actually, in that sense, it might have even meant more. But if it wasn't done perfectly, and I mean perfectly, it wouldn't mean as much as The Rock. Because the one thing with The Rock is that The Rock's promos you could count on. You know, they're going to be great. Brock, without Heyman, ain't going to be the promos at that level. And then you also have to count on this crack creative staff, you know, to be able to tell the story right. And if Heyman was scripting it, I would think there's a pretty good chance if it was just Heyman and Undertaker and Brock, not even Brock, Heyman and Undertaker putting their heads together on how to do this one right, I think it could have done really well. If it's the creative staff of WWE, I don't think that they have the wide range of experiences that would, and having seen enough stuff that would understand how to put that angle together in its maximum capacity, I think that they would just not understand how to do it because they've never seen it done. And because of that, it probably would be much weaker than it should be, and in which case the Rock would mean substantially more. So that's a deep, that's the answer.
And that is going to do it for today, everybody. We're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new show and lots of stuff coming up on the website. We've actually got a couple of different things we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. I'll talk about that more in a couple of days here. But we've got Adam Pierce on the show tomorrow. We've got Dr. Lucha Steve Sims on the show on Wednesday. Todd Martin's going to be on later this week, probably with a guest from Strikeforce from the show this weekend. Of course, the show's with Dave as well, and we'll be up on Friday, Vinny and I talking about the TNA show live that we're going to Friday night. So tons of stuff. New Figure 4 out tomorrow, new Observer out Wednesday, so check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.